here at Bristol Motor Speedway. We are joined by the crew chief from the winning team, which was the number 18 Skittles Toyota. This is Adam Stevens. Adam, back-to-back wins here from Texas and now Bristol. Why don't you just take us through the race briefly from your view on top of the pit box?
I don't know where to start. It feels like we've been here for 2 weeks. It just goes back to survival. You know, Bristol is such a tough place. It's hard on equipment. It's hard on tires. It's hard on the drivers mentally, and it's hard on the crew chiefs trying to string it all together. But, you know, we had a lot of challenges with the weather, the cold temps. You know, the speeds were up, green track, and multiple rain delays. So there's a lot of adversity. You saw a lot of fast cars have issues throughout the race. So, you know, be able to survive all that and kind of pace ourselves and be there at the end of this thing.
All right. We'll now open up to questions for Adam. Please raise your hand. We'll start here in the middle with Matt.
Matt Weaver, AutoWeek.com. Were you guys challenged in the same way that a lot of other guys were, in the sense that when you run the bottom, it was eating up the left sides, and then if you try to take the top or the middle, it just seems like there is no safe place to try to conserve your tires?
Yeah, it was really hard on left side tires. Generally, that the PJ1 stuff will wear off, but it was reapplied, you know, halfway or not quite halfway last night when we had the big rain delay. So, and that and the temperatures being down, track temp being down, the speeds were up. So it was really, really hard on tires. Thankfully, NASCAR gave us a couple extra sets there, and there would have been a lot of carnage had they not. So there's not much you can do about it. You know, you can only run the pace you can run unless you're going to go out there and go multiple laps down. So you have to be aware of it. You know, the second to last run there, I don't know if you guys listened to Kyle, but he could tell that he had some tire issues. No disservice to Goodyear. It's just wearing them out. And our left sides were pretty much gone at that point. So we got that caution with the two car, and we're able to come in and put tires on.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Is it a little ironic that the two cars caution helped you, and that fact that you get a little help from Keselowski?
You know, I guess. Hadn't really thought of it that way, but you know, it's just another competitor, another team to me. It's a good group of guys. You know, we were pitted beside them and worked well together, even when we were behind them. Seemed like Kyle gave their guys room, and Brad and Paul gave us room. So, you know, I think there's probably more in the media, or maybe in those two drivers' minds, than there is between the teams, for sure.
We'll go to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and PRN. Kyle kind of called a shot last week when he's at Texas, said that he had a couple, three races coming up that he's really good at. Do you feel like we got more to come from you guys next weekend when we go to Richmond?
Ooh, if I had to pick a track that just boggles my mind, I think Richmond would be at the top of my list. We just can't seem to get it right there. And the couple times that we were pretty good, there was always somebody who was light years better. You know, we ran second a couple races ago to the 20, and we had 8 or 9 seconds on third place, and Kenseth had at least that much on us, you know, leading. And then we go back there and you know, think that we're really smart and we learned something, and you know, barely finish on the lead lap, it seems like. So I'm not going to make any predictions at all about Richmond other than we're going to swing for the fence. I can tell you that.
All right. Any additional questions for Adam? Go back to Bob.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Did you set up the car expecting to race today? And so was the impact of the colder temperatures maybe something that you were kind of already prepared for?
That's a great question. The weather's hard to predict, right? So I kind of set the car up thinking that the bottom PJ1 was going to burn off and it was going to be a race around the top. Made quite a few setup compromises to make sure we were able to do that. And with the rain last night and the reapplication this morning or whenever they did it, it kind of got away from us a little bit. So I was not planning on it being 39 degrees when we were picking shocks and springs for this thing. So, you know, that was a fair amount of adjustment that we had to do, and Kyle had to do the rest behind the wheel.
We're going to come over here to the far left. Jessica?
Jessica Ruffin with NASCAR.com. It's been kind of a wild weekend, obviously, with a lot of variables in it, but the racing itself was really exciting, lots of aggression, passing, things like that. What did you make of that just from a viewership perspective?
This place almost always puts on an incredible race. You know, there's so much that the driver can do behind the wheel, adjusting his line, you know, what little adjustments he has inside the car, and chasing the rubber as it moves around the racetrack and as the group changes, and it always puts on a good show.
Do we have any final questions for Adam? Kelly?
KellyCrandallRacer.com. Adam, is it possible that Kyle gets more determined over time? I mean, obviously, we know his infatuation for winning and checkered flags and all that, but when, you know, coming off of maybe a year like last year where he was so close and felt you guys were the better team, is it possible that maybe he gets more determined over time and this year? Not that he's driving any differently, but is there anything different about him?
It's probably a better question for Kyle, but in lieu of Kyle, I'll answer that for you. I don't think so. You know, I think that the cup inside of Kyle is always full. He is always determined, and from my seat, he is always focused. So, you know, extenuating circumstances, I don't think could possibly take him from 99.5 to 100 because he's set on kill all the time. You know, sometimes he channels that focus. Sometimes it comes out the wrong way, but, you know, it's always inside of him. And I don't think that really goes up or down with the circumstances.
All right, Adam, thank you for joining us today, and congratulations.
We have
all right,
one
thank
more.
You.
All right, we're also joined by our car owner, race-winning car owner, Joe Gibbs. Coach, this is back-to-back wins here for Kyle. What does this mean for you guys at Joe Gibbs Racing?
I got to tell you, I really appreciate everybody. First of all, our fans are just awesome. The fans that came yesterday and fought through. We've had some tough weather over the weekends since we started this year off. Appreciate our NASCAR fans and everybody that showed up today. Just a huge deal for us, for Skittles and Mars. Everybody here knows our sport's different. You got to have a great sponsor. They're actually partners. And for us to get a win last week with Interstate Batteries, with Kyle doing what he did in Dallas, and to come back and then to get a win with Skittles and Mars, calling everybody in the company, just a great, great day. I think this race today was a great finish to yesterday. We were stop and start. Everybody's all over the place, really cold. You can't get a feel for things. Fought through all that. Came back today. It was a total team effort by, I think, everybody. And, of course, Kyle just drove his heart out, and he always does that. And I appreciate everybody back home. JD, everybody works on our cars back at home. I just wish they could all be here. Appreciate Toyota, too. Just all they do in our partnership. So big day for us, and Lord bless us with just a real thrill.
And we're also joined by our winning driver, Kyle Busch, with the number 18 Skittles Toyota. Kyle, back-to-back wins with you. You've built up quite the points lead in the standings, 59 points now over second place. What does this mean for you?
Well, it's it means a lot, you know, to come to Bristol, a place where everybody expects you to do so well, expects you to win, that we're able to get one. You know, I wasn't sure there. Late in the going with, you know, 50 to go with the vibrations and everything that I was feeling that I was going to be able to have a shot. I wasn't sure if we were going to go green the rest of the way or what was going to happen. But, you know, fortunately for us, unfortunately for some others, that caution did come out. We were able to come down pit road and put four tires on that thing. And then, you know, we restarted second on an inside lane. And I wanted to stay out of the spray to not get anything on my tires, but ended up, you know, towards the exit I got down into some of those marbles, and when Larson launched and took off, I was just spinning the tires. There was just nothing for me to go with. So, you know, I struggled really bad on the restart. I thought that's where I lost it, you know, and just put my head down and tried to get back going. Just tried to chase those guys back down and do what I could to get there. Larson looked loose. It looked like he was kind of battling it there for a little bit. You know, the 17 kind of got to him first, and then I got to the 17 and then was able to get by him and then get back up and catch Larson again. He slipped up a few times and was able to give me that opportunity to get there, and we made the most of it. You know, when it comes down to the end, it's crunch time. You got to go. And I wasn't sure if I made my move too soon. I thought so, but you know, our car was fast enough that you know, Larson never had a shot to get back to us to repay the favor. So it was a pretty good race, I thought. It was pretty fun, the bottom, the top, all around, everywhere. So you know, hopefully we can continue to develop a good tire here that we can not have those long run issues where we keep getting that bounce feel and even put on a better show.
All right, we'll resume questions. I know we have one up in the press box.
Yeah, Kirsten at catchfence.com. Kyle, can you become the second driver to win three straight next weekend at Richmond?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You know, we haven't quite been as strong as we wanted to be at Richmond the last few times. I don't know what we're kind of missing there. I don't think it's one of Adam's best racetracks. I think it's one of mine. But, you know, we can... we'll continue to try to get better and figure out what we need to get around there well. You know, so it's, I don't know, it's just, it used to be easy. You know, we used to show up and we used to change this little thing and we were fast, you know, myself and Denny included. And then the last few times there, we haven't been great as a company. Kenseth was really fast there a couple of years ago, but, I'd like to think that we can, we'll give it our best.
Did we have any additional questions in the press box?
No, we're good.
All right, we'll go to Jerry downstairs.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and PRN. I actually have two. The first one, during the race, having yesterday, but you said, just let me at the leaders. I'm going to have them for lunch. Was that just bravado, or did you know you had something for those guys?
No, I knew we had a really good car. I knew that once we got into the long runs, when we did get into the long runs, we were running them down. We were passing people, you know. The distance that Larson and I had on third place there before that last caution came out was, I don't know, a straightaway or something like that, you know. And I was even slowing down because I felt like I was going to blow a tire. So I was trying to soften my blow. You know, with as good as we were, Larson was just as good. So he was right there all day.
And a follow-up, last weekend you tied Bill Elliott. This week you've pretty much made quick work of that record. You're moving on to Buck Baker. Talk about being on this roll of two wins in a row. Then, you know, before that couple of seconds, you seem to be on fire right now.
Yeah, we certainly are. You know, it's a true testament to our team, though. Everybody on this number 18, M&M's, Skittles, Interstate Batteries, Toyota team is just working phenomenally together. We've been, as a group, since Adam's been on board, this is the same group of guys. We've maybe lost one or two here or there. One of them got promoted to a car chief on another team. And so, you know, our group is pretty cool. I enjoy working with my guys an awful lot, and I just feel like we're clicking on all eight cylinders right now. So that's just a great thing to have and gives you a lot of confidence when you can go to the racetrack with these guys. And Joe's going to have to pay him a lot more in order to keep them all as a group. So that's fortunately not my problem.
You're making all the money. Why don't you pay him?
We might have the Tom Brady effect here where I got to take a cut in order to give to the rest. So, it's all good. And we'll hopefully continue this role that we're on right now.
All right, we'll go over to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports for Joe. After the race, Denny expressed his frustration today on the pit gun, blaming that for the loose wheel. Right. And one thing that he said was that one solution would be is that JGR would be, you know, potentially willing to supply guns to other teams if that was actually a condition to going back to the former system. So I don't know if you're able to, willing to provide that, if that would be part of it. Is that a thought? Is that something you've offered? Or where do you stand on that matter?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, we had two loose lug nuts today that put us down multiple laps. And they both put us down multiple laps. Now, for our sponsors and everybody, I'm calling trying to explain it, and it's hard to explain. And so as far as, you know, we all work together. Our teams, NASCAR has been very good about working with us. And when we come up against a problem, we've been good about working hard to solve it. I think we have a number of meetings this week with NASCAR, and I think we'll be, you know, working on this and hopefully work towards a solution. I think it would be hard for us to build the guns for everybody. That would be tough. But I think we need to come up with a solution for sure.
And I know you talked about the meetings this week. Denny was saying he felt like if this continues, it's going to cost somebody a race or even potentially a championship at the end of the year. do you feel like, or even advancing in rounds, do you agree with that?
Well, I think when you get something like this that's going on, and it's happened to multiple teams each week, I think you got to find a way to fix it, address it. And I think that's what we'll be talking about this week. I feel good that NASCAR's on board. They don't want issues. And I think we'll all work together and come up with a solution.
Before we head back up to the press box, we're actually going to excuse Adam so he can continue with his media obligations.
Hey, Adam, in front of you is the sword from Bristol Motor Speedway, if you would like to take that with you.
All right, we're going to go back upstairs to the press box.
Nate Hubbard from the Bristol Herald Courier. You usually get quite a reception of boos and other such from the fans. With obviously the weather circumstances today, just how was today's victory lane? Could you still hear any people in the stands, or were there diehard supporters? And then just in general, with the type of success you've had at Bristol, how does this compare to some of your other victories or just winning at other tracks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was the weather that held a lot of people out, and being a Monday held a lot of people out from being here. Many were probably seeing the forecast for much of the weekend and were kind of scared to be here. So it's unfortunate for that. But hopefully when we come back here in the fall time, August, that we have a better opportunity to hear more boos after the race. Certainly today, I couldn't really tell just getting out of the car. There were certainly a lot of 18 M&Ms folks here today, so appreciate Rowdy Nation showing up and supporting the cause and getting us a good reception there in Victory Lane right around the start-finish line area there when I got out of the car. And then again in Victory Lane there, I saw a lot that were kind of guests of the racetrack that kind of came over and came down onto the racetrack, so that was cool.
Just a fan thing. The passionate fans that follow Kyle, and there was a lady right outside the door here. I don't know if anybody – so she asked me to sign this piece of – she had a fender or something. She was crying. We got passionate fans following our sport. And I can tell you this, when I walk into Joe Gibbs Racing, a lot of the people that visit there, they got M&Ms on. So I think Kyle's got a heck of a following, and I think he's getting a lot of cheers, too. So at least we were. I think maybe there was more of us than the...
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right. We'll go to Bob.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. I have two for Kyle. The first, Kyle Larson said that it's getting frustrating getting beat by you, in this here, because it seems he has really good cars, but you seem to prevail at the end. Is there something that you feel like you have an edge on at the end on him at a place like this?
No, I don't think so. There was an Xfinity Series race one time a couple of years ago when we were – it was one of the Dash for Cash races, and we were battling through the stages, and we were just whipping through lap traffic. And he had me beat that day. I don't remember what happened, how the end of that race unfolded. But it was fun. I mean, Larson and I are pretty much neck and neck. It just seems like whoever can kind of get out front kind of seems to have it. But – Larson was out front today at the end, and just seemed like he was a little bit too loose. So, I mean, it comes down to perfection and having to have your race car be perfect, and I'm not so sure that he had that there at the end. So I wouldn't say mine was perfect either, but mine was a lot closer than his was.
And second, does Brad Keselowski go up any sort of notch in your book for bringing out the caution that allowed you to come in for tires?
That's pushing it too far, Bob. That's why I said earlier, I was like, fortunately for us, unfortunately for others. So I kind of felt bad for him, maybe just that much. But it certainly helped our cause. So that was much appreciated. Let's just go with that.
We're going to go over to the far right side of the room.
For Kyle, I'm Matt Corson with the Racing Experts and ESPN Albuquerque. Do you think that all racetracks should push to have victory lane celebrations on the front stretch closer to the fans like it is here?
Yes and no. I mean, it's kind of complicated. When I heard what they told me in the driver's meeting on what they were going to do with the Victory Lane celebration, and I was kind of confused because it's like the third different way that we've been celebrating here the last four races or whatever. So fortunately for me, when you win here a lot, you tend to know where you're supposed to go. I was going back to the roof. I was going to be the only one up there. I was going to celebrate myself. But then I kind of got whisked back to pit road. And so, I think they wanted me to actually turn in from the turn one side, and I came in from the turn four side. So I don't know. We just need to I'd like the victory lane celebration on the roof here. I think that's cool. I think you get to come in and turn up and drive up onto the roof and get up there. And they got the pyro and all that stuff up there. That's really cool, you know, and the fireworks that come out from behind you and stuff. So I thought that was always really, really special here at Bristol, was to be able to go up on the roof. So other racetracks, you know, Martinsville, it kind of fits. There's no other area or opportunity to celebrate. So on the front stretch there is good. You know, Richmond, maybe they could have the victory lane celebration be out there outside the pit wall on the grass rather than back behind the fuel pumps, you know. So there's some cool things that can happen at some different racetracks, and maybe guys are thinking of that. But if it were me, Bristol should put it back on the roof.
Anything additional for Kyle and Coach? Go to Kelly.
KellyCrandallRacer.com. Kyle, during this morning and during the race, Dale Jr. has been talking a lot about how he's looking forward to his podcast, because apparently you're going to be a guest and talk about Richmond and kind of your history. How did that come about, and I guess are you looking forward to doing that?
Yeah, I am, actually. It came about from Gluck, actually. He asked Dale and I to talk about – we did it separately. I did my side of the story. He did his side of the story, and then the other is the Gluck thing that's out. And when Gluck asked us to do that, it actually kind of spurred an idea in my head. And I was like, hey, we called over to Davis, obviously, and asked those guys if they'd be willing to have me on their show in order to talk about it and hash it out, like in person or on radio, like face to face, like with one another. 10 years passed, and we've actually kind of grown a little bit of a friendship. So actually there may be a few laughs shared, maybe a few tears shared as well, too. So we'll see what happens. We were supposed to record it today. In 35 minutes, so that's obviously not going to happen. So I think we're going to try to shoot for tomorrow morning.
Is this the first time people have talked about that particular incident?
Yeah, this will be the first time that we've talked about that incident. Yeah, we've So it'll be fun.
We'll go to Jerry.
Real quick, Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires.net and PRN. Got 7 wins here. What are you going to do with all the swords? I mean, I don't know if you got one for everyone, but what are you going to do with all these swords?
I don't know. It's a cool problem to have. These things are pretty neat. They're super, super nice, and the engravings on the inside of the blade, inside of the cover on the blade, have exactly what the race was and the date and stuff like that. So it's really, really special. That's certainly a unique trophy with the Last Great Coliseum here at Bristol. It's pretty fun to take all those home. So I said the last time I finally got 3 of them that Brexton, Samantha, and myself, we're all going to have a sword fight. And so now I guess I got one for any future children down the road. So we'll see what happens.
Anything
Brexton
else?
Was actually telling me, Dad, be careful. That's sharp. So he was all about it. He was keeping me safe.
Awesome. Anything final for Coach and Kyle? All right, gentlemen, congratulations. Good luck next week.
Oh, man. Watch out.